The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 225. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, what up, what up?
Brett Murdoch.
The puppy full payment, so I'm gonna be honoring.
You know? All right, we don't know where Brian is. Where is he, Brett? What's going on with Brian right now? Some British stuff going on over there?
Oh, he's standing in for the queen as she's been secretly kidnapped by a villain who owns a skull-shaped island.
Yeah, Brian looks exactly like the queen, you know?
You can't let the public figure it out, so he's being the doppelganger stand-in right now.
Yeah, exactly. And Adam, he's lost in Washington, D.C. right now. And we weren't going to wait for his ass, so we're starting, you know?
You could say he's getting involved in politics.
Yeah, you could say that, you know? Let me shoot this guy a message.
Yeah. Really getting down the street level.
Yeah. So, Brett, you haven't been on the show for a couple of shows. How's things going? I'm just vamping right now, so go talk about whatever the fuck you want.
Good. I had to, sorry guys, I had to work around a bunch of shit. Family issues, and then I went out to a convention here in Missouri.
Missouri.
Out in St. Louis, which is, I don't want to say it's a terrible city, so I'll say it's all right. But it feels like a terrible city.
But that, and then that's when our Missouri fans will be like, "What the?"
No, I think the people in St. Louis will kind of be like, "Eh." Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, Kansas City is fucking brutal. Like in terms of like murder rate and crime rate and everything like that. St. Louis is worse. Damn. St. Louis is fucking scary in places. When you St. Louis is on the level of what you think when you think old Detroit.
Murder. Oh, there's Adam. Hello, Adam.
Oh, I couldn't save Espinoza. My bad. My bad. Yo, that shit is long. I'm like, yo, I'm at the end. They told me I'm at the end. Nope. I was by myself. I did it solo.
Are you talking about the game or what?
No, I'm not talking about the game.
Yeah, he's talking about something else completely.
You know? Talking about life.
Life is hard, man.
Yeah. He had to put his pants back on.
Yep. Anyway, so originally we were going to do our little impressions of the division. We may do that later. But this news this week was ridiculous with news. Like, I had to drop shit off the show, and there's still stuff we may not get to. Too much happened this week, man.
Let's not vamp the topics. Let's accept. We do need to talk about the division. It's a big thing.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. Well, I'll probably throw that in at the end, but yeah.
That won't be antagonistic.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man.
As much.
All right, so let's just get into it, man. Both of these topics are interesting. This is shit we've been telling you about. Hold on a second. Somebody just threw money at us. Thank you, Barry Burton, for subscribing again.
Okay, to give background too, like I gotta say, what I said before, I'm not just being like, pain medication. I haven't had a stab in the spine with a needle today, so I'm still recovering from that.
Oh shit, that's brutal, man.
I did that.
That's scoliosis.
Nah, ruptured discs.
Mm. Yeah, Chris did that a couple weeks ago, man. You know, that put him out.
That shit sucks, right, Chris?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I had sciatica pain, and then yeah, it's like 5 hours of paperwork for a 10-minute shot in the back.
Damn.
I don't know what was more painful, like prepping for this shit or doing it.
the second time they didn't let the lidocaine sit in enough, and I can tell you, the shot is more painful.
Oh, okay.
God.
It's like a 12-gauge needle, which for people who don't know needle gauges, is about as thick as your standard house nail.
Yeah. By the way, I'm seeing Hip Hop Gamer having an argument right now because he loves Anthem, and people are telling him he's wrong. So,
dude, I'm there with you, buddy.
We got to have him on, man. All right, so first topic here. So Halo, okay, let's go back. So for years, despite the fact that Halo used to be on PC, for years Xbox fanboys were saying Halo will never come to PC, never come to PC. Guess what? Halo Master Chief Collection is coming to PC on Steam specifically.
Steam and Windows Store, right?
Yeah, I believe so. But that's pretty insane, dude. So
they're just playing nice with the big boy. That's all.
Yeah, but again, this is the last holdout. All the other major Microsoft franchises have come to PC except for that one. And even Microsoft themselves, they were like, "Oh yeah, no, Halo's not going to go to PC." Look what happened.
Dude, Microsoft is looking to hedge its bets and go out as a service. I think here's the thing I want everybody to understand. These actions, these movements take like a decade to actually come to fruition. They're going to release another console, but the success of their next console could depend the direction that they take the company, and they're hedging their bets and laying the groundwork to be able to pivot left or right depending on the launch success of the new Xbox. If they don't launch well, they won't ride an entire another generation without turning into a service on other platforms. So they're trying to lay the groundwork for this. So it's neither Microsoft is getting ready to sell out and just become a full service, and it's not that this is just rumors. It's a weird middle ground that really honestly depends on how many Xboxes you buy.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw this in here too because they're all tied together. So Microsoft said, okay, basically the official announcement is that Xbox Live is going to be available on iOS and Android, right? That's official. That's been stated. Now Microsoft says, and this is this from one of their guys. He said they are open to the idea of having Xbox Live on Switch and PlayStation.
But I think it's okay for them to say that because they openly know that Sony will never let that happen. So they were like, yeah, we could say it. And then just have everybody point fingers at them. See, you're blocking all the fun shit.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the person who's going to stop this the thing that's going to stop it is Sony. But it goes back to what we've been saying on this podcast for like 2 years now almost. Like, Microsoft is more interested in making Xbox Live into a service that's available on everything than just on one system. You know, because they make more money that way. And think about it like this. It's not that hard to believe that a software company is going to utilize software to get, what I'm saying? It's the same thing.
They're tired of making hardware. That's not where the money is. The money's in the software.
Exactly. You know,
I'll take it one step further. They've actually managed to do a pretty good job of it. When you put everything aside, look at it from the top down perspective, it'd be pretty cool to have Microsoft Xbox Live or their Game Pass on other platforms. It's a fuck of a deal, man. Like, it is one of the best deals in console gaming.
Yeah, the Xbox heads would explode, though. Imagine you could get Crackdown on PlayStation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but that's the thing, though. Like, we're so tied up in the politics, and like, unfortunately, these companies really have to look at the fans, and the fans are very divided. But if the fans would all sit back for a second and think about it, there's no reason why this wouldn't necessarily be a good thing. Microsoft doesn't necessarily have to put every single exclusive on there right away, but I wouldn't mind being a PlayStation person giving some money to Microsoft for that. That's a way for them to get money out of my pocket, even if I don't buy an Xbox. And that, at the end of the day, is good for Microsoft.
Yeah, one thing I was talking to some people on Twitter about, because they were saying, oh, that's it, I'm going to be able to get Gears of War trophies. I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to get achievements, bro.
No, it's still going to be Chivo.
It's going to be Chivo. Yeah, because you got to log into Xbox Live, make an Xbox Live account, pay Xbox every month, basically.
You're going into their portal. You're going to be in their ecosystem once you sign in.
That's it. But yeah, again, Microsoft's been making these moves for a while now, so it makes perfect sense that they potentially are going to go down this route,
Yeah, but I never see it going on Sony. I think Sony's going to be hard. They just said it just to say it because they know Sony's not going to do it. Yeah, so they're like, Sony's sure. Of course, we'd love to be there. It's never going to happen. And if it ever did happen, that would be fucking crazy. They know it.
That'll be a megaton.
The Switch, I can see that happening. Now they're saying that it's not happening, but who knows?
Well, maybe they just
messing with us. Maybe they're just messing with it.
Chris, go ahead.
To their benefit. I mean, the Switch, Nintendo Online is a joke. Let's be real. Like, they would benefit a lot from having Xbox Live.
I'm just saying. Hashtag remember the Dreamcast. Look at the way the dominoes are set up. It's very similar. Not quite as bad, but the previous console was kind of a flop. They're getting ready to hedge their last bets on a console, and they're making steps to be a service in case that console doesn't launch. Like, that's what happened to Dreamcast.
Hey, Brett, it's kind of funny you say that because literally as you said that sketch in the chat says same thing they said about Sega back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting strong vibes. Like Sega will never fold. Like, I was one of those people saying that. And then trust me.
Oh,
like,
I said that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's – well, I didn't want to believe it, but because I was a Sega fan, the same way these guys are Xbox fans. But I'm telling these people directly, don't think it won't all collapse around you. I've seen it before. It's happened.
Well, they don't want to hear it, man. When it happens, it happens. You just got to be like, I told you.
Yeah, well, it's like not even predicting it. They're setting everything up so it can be like that. They're hedging their bets, and we know how bad their console has been selling relatively to their competition. So this is more of an inevitability than it is a prediction, really, because it's happening. We're seeing it happening. Every week we get a new story about Microsoft like potentially doing this or that the whole Switch ordeal or now Steam. It's like every week we're getting something about Microsoft doing something different that leads to this type of service.
But if the Xbox One 2 launches well, then this
could be
Xbox One 2.
But yeah, point. But you're right. It was like if Xbox 2 does well.
If Xbox 2 does well, that would mean that they're hedge. They don't actually need to act on these hedge bets. We've seen how lopsided generations be. Xbox could come out and take 2/3 of the market share this next generation. We don't know. Sony doesn't know. Microsoft doesn't know. That's when the big toss-up happens. That's when everything changes. And it's flip-flopped several times before. So Microsoft is probably also, while they're hedging on the ability to become a service, they're also really hedging on a successful launch of Xbox 2. And it just depends on which one catches that their company goes. They just don't want to be caught with their pants down if they put all their eggs in the basket of system, and it doesn't work for a second generation in a row.
Yeah, right now, if this was a poker game, Microsoft just put all their chips in. They're like, here we go. We're on everything. We're just going all out.
Yeah, if this were blackjack, they would have just split.
That's it.
Instead of just throwing everything on that one, they would have split, which is a good plan. But it doesn't, like, don't take this to mean that Microsoft, I don't take this to mean Microsoft is inevitably going to become a service company. It just means that if Xbox 2 doesn't launch well, I think they're still going to try and launch the next Xbox with this. They realize what they did wrong, and they're going to watch for the fan service. They may not succeed at it, but they're going to fucking try.
Yeah, but I think you're right. They're hedging their bets, and if the Xbox 2 doesn't take off, they already got their, you know, everything set up, you know, for them to become full-on software. But if not, they could reverse it. They could easily go, no, we're not going to do this shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's like, now that they're releasing on Steam, like, and on Switch and stuff like that, or they're thinking about doing that, it's like they're undercutting their own market. So they're pretty much just saying we're digging our own graves.
Are they?
Yeah, because Xbox. I mean, what's the point of getting an Xbox now?
They're killing the Xbox, but they're not killing. They're killing the Xbox system, but not the service.
I'm talking about the hardware.
Gotcha. Yeah,
where they make their money. Their money is from all those subs, man.
Yeah, they have the money.
The thing about it is that every single, as you know, every single console generation, all these companies lose a lot of money at the price that they sell to their consoles for. It isn't until later on that they start to see some sort of profit.
Yeah.
Unless they do like what they did with Switch and just use some old tech.
I think Microsoft has also identified an unfilled niche in the market in that we don't have a Netflix for video games. We don't. We'd all like to. We've had several companies try unsuccessfully to do it, but Microsoft has the ability to pivot in that market. And it's not about how much money, and because people say, well, the Xbox system is still successful. Yeah, but would it be more successful as a Netflix-style platform that delivers games for a subscription fee?
xCloud. That's what they're calling. Yeah, let's see.
And they could, if you look at how much money Netflix makes and how much money Microsoft makes, like on the Xbox, they're probably going to make more money as a service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then think about this, just going on your point, PS Now, right? We keep making fun of it or whatever. Sony makes a lot of money off that shit, you know? So it goes to show you that, you know, a certain amount of gamers are ready for streaming games. You think Microsoft won't be at the, you know, ahead of that?
Well, it's not even that. I feel like subscription services in general make a lot of money because people just forget or don't care. They just have the service and then it just keeps going. And they're like, well, if I ever want to use it, I know it's there. You know, that's what we saw with Planet Fitness. Was it $9.99? People are like, what? No one's going to. Millions of people did it. You know, and do they go? No. Does it hurt their wallet? Not so much. Not like if they had one of those big, you know, $100 a month type subscriptions. And that's what they realized. And all these other services started doing the same thing. I said, damn, that's what we see everything. Damn, what is it? The toothbrush company now doing subscription toothpaste and toothbrushes. It's getting crazy. Dude, yeah.
Not only that, but subscription services sell you the most expensive way to sell. Like, think about it. When your Xbox or PlayStation auto renews, it charges you the steepest price because it's small, selling you the smallest interval. But if you like bought a year long subscription, you'd save a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
But it just kind of lets it secretly roll in that drip feed and just collecting $10 a month, $10 a month because it doesn't matter because you're not dropping a $60 amount, and so you let it just drain. If everybody on there paid $10 a month, you know that's going to be $120 a year. That's going to be more than the price of the console. Over the next few years, and at least like probably like three times the price of the console over the generation, it's a huge amount of money. It's a great way. Subscription services make sense, and they're actually really like. Does anybody remember how weird it was when Netflix was taking off and people were arguing against the concept of being able to have all of your content pretty much set on, you know, like enough content to be able to hold a streaming service? Like, I can't just watch Netflix. There's never enough content, and while that's still kind of true, there's a shitload. Content on there and has become a lot of people's main source of streaming TV and movies. Like, it's, you think it won't work, but it absolutely will. It just takes a huge amount of muscle to get it to work, and I think Xbox has that leverage. I think they have that muscle.
Yeah, that's their trade. It makes sense. That's what they do. They do software. That's their thing. That's it. You know, you're just doing what's natural for them. So
go ahead. Which is why we can't figure out how they messed up their operating system on the damn Xbox One. Why does it run like shite, man? What the hell?
It's horrible.
It's Windows 10, dude. That's why. They had a custom build on 360 that ran some down and ran smooth. They just put full Windows 10 on there and runs like shit.
So bad.
It's crazy. All right, man. Any last words you guys have to say about all this?
What was it? The X Cloud. I think it's this week or next week that Microsoft is going to unveil the X Cloud in action. And
it's during your birthday.
Yeah, it's probably. Yeah, I think it's on my birthday
weekend. Yeah, Adam's like 72 right now, man.
Yeah, 72. I'm climbing.
That's it. But when that happens, we'll also talk about Google's big news, which we'll kind of touch on later on. Next week's going to be interesting too, people. So stay tuned. All right, moving on here. Okay, we got to talk about the big, huge rumor that dropped, which I think has been debunked now. So basically, Twitter and every other place went crazy with the rumor that Sony was acquiring Take-Two Interactive. Take-Two Interactive, of course, owns, you know, Grand Theft Auto and all this other shit. Sony stocks went up. Take-Two stocks went up. Everybody went fucking crazy. Right now, you know, both of them are saying, no, we are not going to substantiate any rumors. Craziness going up. But Chris, I had you look into this further. So what did you find?
Yeah, I mean, I found was that all of this came from one dude who speculated on the uptick of Take-Two yesterday, speculated that he heard that there was advanced board talks that Sony was going to make a cash deal to acquire Take-Two. So that blew up everywhere. That blew up on the market and everything. The more likely speculation of why Take-Two had the uptick yesterday was probably the teaser for Borderlands 3. Not this, because apparently I didn't know this. I found out later that this guy said this apparently after the stock had gone up, right? Not before.
Yeah.
So his saying that didn't cause this. So that would that already kind of disproved it. And then now, so you have him backpedaling and saying, "Hey, this was just speculation. I don't have any confirmation of it." And then Sony said something, and Take Two said something. So this goes in with the big pile of like. Remember when last year they were talking like, oh, Microsoft has no exclusives. And then all of a sudden news, Microsoft's going to buy EA and they're going to buy Valve. And this is similar. This is the same thing. Yeah. And imagine like how the market would shrink. Imagine Sony owning Rockstar. Just think of the implications of that. GTA 5 is the best selling piece of entertainment not game, entertainment ever, right? So imagine them owning that then.
Would they really own it? Because isn't that just a contract? And if it's a publisher with the developer. So if the publisher sells, then the new owner, don't they have to renegotiate? It's just like if there's a new owner with a team and the players say, hey, I get new contracts. My contract isn't with you. It's with the previous owners.
If they invest in Take-Two, right, they get everything that Take-Two owns. Take-Two owns Rockstar. If Rockstar, they invest.
Do they own Rockstar?
Yeah.
I thought they were just publishing for Rockstar.
Nah, Take-Two owns
Rockstar. They owned them. Actually, when I was there, Take-Two was on the floor below Rockstar. They're in the same building on Broadway. So they're in control of all that stuff, and they're in control of 2K. So if Rockstar wanted to divest, if they wanted to pull a Bungie, man, the amount of money they'd have to pay to get out would be staggering.
Yeah. Does Sony even have the money for that?
To buy all that stuff? I don't know. You know, I mean, Microsoft might, like Apple might, you know.
Yeah, probably. Sony, I don't know about that, man.
Sony, because like their most profitable division is the gaming division.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, does Sony even have enough money for that shit? You know?
Nah, I don't think so.
Like, I think I could be completely fucking wrong, but it seems to me Take-Two probably makes more money than Sony does. You know? Like, Grand Theft Auto is crazy. I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like Sony, even if Sony could afford them, I think it would cost them all like a good chunk of their revenue. So the whole, from the beginning, I was like, this is fake news, man. And it's crazy how basically one guy just, you know, he just assumed it and it spread like wildfire, you know?
Yeah.
Even he admitted, he's like, yeah, I was just speculating, guys.
And this is kind of the worst kind of speculation because it came from stock traders, came from a securities firm.
Yeah,
like these guys don't give a shit about video games, whatever. They're just trading and stuff. So that kind of rumor has less salt than if it came from inside the industry.
Yo, man, where's Michael Pachter at?
Yeah, right. Well, funny you mentioned that because the guy who said it works for Michael Pachter's company, Wedbush
Morgan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's one of those guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so they think he's telling the truth because it came from Pac-Town.
Yeah, they're like, oh, shit, is it? Yeah, wow.
It's you, man.
Yeah, right.
Yo, man, they come up with some crazy-ass predictions, man.
This is like a living example of you. Okay, here's a phrase, and Carlos, I'm not going to mess it up. Don't worry about it. A lie goes around the world twice before the truth even puts on his shoes. You know, it's It's crazy, man.
Yeah. You know, it's funny though. We remember a while ago, was it maybe last year, that we heard a rumor similar to this with EA, and that Microsoft was going to buy EA and stocks.
I remember that. Jump. That's right.
None of that. Yeah, but that was a thing, and none of this happened in Wall Street. Well, but for this, everything triggered, and maybe
Microsoft was going to buy Valve. The only rumor that ended up being true, and this was an insider rumor, was Microsoft would buy Obsidian, and they did. Mm. But see, there was a difference where those came from.
And there's a difference between those studios, like Obsidian, compared to EA and Take-Two. It's like
and Valve, right? Yeah.
Right. Yep. That was another one.
I remember, what was it? The other rumor was that Microsoft wanted to buy Capcom, but Japanese companies can't buy to the West or something like that, can't sell to the West. It was something that they were trying to work around. It was a while ago.
I think if there's a company right now that could do any of those transactions, it'll be Microsoft. But yeah, I don't know. Sony, I don't think Sony could or would do it.
Yeah, I would have an easier time believing Microsoft was going to do it. You know, I know they have the money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just goes to show how this industry, it runs on rumors and shit. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's always been like that. It's crazy. All right, man. What else are we talking about here? Okay, this one's interesting. So EA paid Ninja $1 million to stream Apex Legends.
Nice.
And the interesting thing is, and I saw a lot of interesting takes, and I want to get your guys' takes on it. Everybody was cool with it. It's like, oh, yeah, Ninja, go for it. That's fucking awesome. Money.
Make
it
go, money. Ninja, go, Ninja, yeah,
go. Go, Ninja, go.
Go, Ninja, go.
Oh, damn.
So I looked at this post from a Game Informer editor from Australia, I believe, right? And he said, okay, Why is it that when, you know, gaming journalists are suspected of, you know, being shills, you know, they get so much heat, yet this guy openly gets $1 million and everybody's fine with it? He was honestly confused. And then, you know, people kept telling him, you know, they responded to it. And I think they're on the money here. Basically, you don't trust a name in a byline. That's not really trustworthy, you know, like in a news organization, who's that person who's writing? You don't really trust that. But a guy's like Ninja, people kind of see them as a friend, right? So, you know, they want them to succeed. And if they fuck up, you know, kind of like with PewDiePie, they forgive them. Yeah, you forgive your friends, you know? So I think that's what a lot of the gaming journalists, let me finish. I think that's what a lot of gaming journalists don't understand. It's like, because they think that influencers and journalists are the same thing. They're not. The people see them very differently. There's Brian 1 hour later, as usual, daylight savings time. But I just find that interesting how, like, you know, these guys are just finally getting, it's like, guys, influencers are, they, people see them as their buddies. They don't see some nameless journalist as their friend.
Well, you know? I mean, I think that the big difference is also is because there is not a nameless journalist, but a faceless journalist.
Faceless, that's the word. By the way, yeah, it's a faceless byline, like written by Jack McDaniel or something. It's like, yeah. Okay, like who the fuck is that?
Playing it. He's playing it right in front. They're sitting in there in that chat watching him play. So he has credibility with that. They were like, oh, wow, he's not just talking because he collected a check. This dude is playing it and he's...
Well, it's also an incredibly smart move. But, you know, the way you got to think about it this way is that, you know, why don't commercials work so well nowadays? It's because we are oblivious to them. We don't pay attention to them as much as we used to in the old days. Now, what if you had a captive audience, an audience that was just willing to watch essentially what is a commercial for their a product? And that's what he got paid for.
Yeah, and they're watching it live. You can jump in yourself and see if you're the marketing exec. You can log in and say, wow, look, right now he's got 4.7 million people watching him play our product.
And it's guaranteed.
Putting eyes, yes, guaranteed that there's eyeballs on it. As opposed to putting a commercial during a show, you're like, well, there was a bunch of people. We don't know if they fast forward to the commercial. We don't know if
Or do they have an ad blocker? Miss, you know, did they put it on DVR and they're skipping all the commercials? That's the difference.
Yeah, I want to go back to something we covered. I believe it was last week, where basically Sekiro, right? It's not going to be given to journalists until the launch day, right? And on this show, we said, "Oh yeah, watch them influencers get the game." Guess what happened? Some influencers are getting the game.
Yeah.
It makes sense
because if you think about it, a journalist giving something a good rating actually is not actually that much of a big deal. Journalist giving something a bad rating is a big deal and can affect the sales of a game.
Yeah, that is true. Mm-hmm. And like I keep saying, you know, a lot of these influencers are more willing to just say, this is fantastic. This is great. I love it. You know,
because like, you know, past situations where it's like, OK, the journalists give maybe a game that a really insane amount of praise and stuff like that. But it doesn't reflect inside of the actual sales of the game. But let's say that same game, you know, same game. But the journalists hate the shit out of it. Apparently, you know, that will actually affect the sales of it. They're like, oh, IGN gave it a three.
In some cases, Manny, I'm noticing the tide is shifting on that. From good example is Far Cry 5, right? A lot of journalists, you know, gave that game a lot of shit because they didn't feel the game, you know, like pushed, you know, whatever. I'm not going to get into it, but you know, that game did very, very well despite the fact that it was getting all this flack. So I think the tide may be turning because
I think to be honest, like, you know, you should treat reviews as something separate. You know, the thing is, there is the possibility of you liking a game that a games journalist or a reviewer did not like.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with movies that, the movies that we see out there. There are movies that we have seen pretty recently that have gotten incredibly high ratings, but in the sales, they were totally panned.
And the
reverse happened.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's happening with games now. With movies, that's been happening for years. Look at my Transformers. Mm-hmm. Transformers get panned all fucking day. They make billions of dollars. You know
exactly.
But now with the gaming, it's different because you could just go watch this streamer guy, you know, and get your opinion off of him. You know,
the sad thing is, it's like here. Not the sad thing, but you know, the kind of weird thing about all of this is like. Officially, the way game companies are kind of seeing this sort of stuff is like, well, you know what? You're not a you game journalist person are not exactly, you know, a part of, you know, a good part of our marketing.
Yes.
Officially, you know, all you reviewing a game or you were not reviewing a game doesn't really affect anything. So why don't we get it to get it early to the people that actually do get watches and do continue, have a consistent audience, that which is our audience who we're looking to have play this game.
Yeah, Adam, go ahead.
Yeah, I wonder if we're seeing this growth because there's no demos. Because they stopped releasing demos where everybody could just download and play for themselves. They can't. So they were like, all right, well, where else can I see this in action besides a trailer? Well, so-and-so is streaming it. All right, let's log in and watch it. You know, if they brought back demos, if that wasn't an issue anymore, would these streamers be as popular?
Yeah, they would. They would. Because you're going there not really for the game. You're going more there for the personality. I think that's what it is.
You're going there for the personality and you're going there for the game. I mean, it's like it's essentially a live demo. And who better to live demo a game than a pretty skilled sort of gamer?
Say what you will about Ninja. That guy plays at a very high level.
Very good. He's very good.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I mean, and then you have situations like the Cuphead situation, which is like a person who's doing an incredibly bad demonstration of the game.
Think about it like this.
Also affect the sales. Well,
think about it like this. Who would a publisher, developer, whatever, rather have? A guy who probably can't play the game well, or a guy who's going to play it extremely well. He wants the guy who's going to play it well. You know.
Yeah, they want their game to look in the best of lights.
And also, it's two and two. It's like, who would they rather have? Someone they can control or someone they can't?
Exactly. You know. So. And none of this stuff surprises me, man.
Officially, it's fairly easy to control a influencer.
And if you find out they are being controlled, no one gives a fuck. They're not held accountable, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That's the difference.
So don't listen to executives when they say, don't trust gaming journalists, trust people who stream the game. And I'm like, forward them this article about fucking Ninja getting paid $1 million to play Apex Legends and see if it has any credibility about the integrity of the game.
The funny part is that he's saying it. I think that's the issue a lot of people. Whenever you hear these reviews from IGN, whatever, they're like, oh, they're getting paid off and this and this and this. Well, you don't really know that. No one knows that. But with Ninja, he says, he's like, all right, this is a paid gameplay and here we go. And people cool with it. And I think it's because, hey, he's being honest. It's up
front. Yeah, like in other words, a game journalist is getting a slide underneath the table, they're not going out there and saying, hey, by the way, this review was was sponsored by blah blah blah, and this may affect this whatever, you know.
By the way, I need to just to cover our asses if they're getting a slide under the table. You know, for example, I'm being real. As a game journalist myself, I wish I was getting a slide under the table. I get shit there, you know, but I've been accused so many times. Oh, you've been paid. Far Cry Primal was one because I love the fucking game. But everybody, you know, kind of shitted on it. Like, oh, you got paid by Ubisoft. I'm like, I wish Ubisoft fucking paid me. I need money. Mm-hmm. You know,
maybe I can get out of these goddamn projects.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Just find some shit underneath the table.
Yeah,
who was that? It was some. I think it was someone. I don't even want to say who. There was a certain big time journalist who brought this up, and he says the only thing that he's ever been guilty of taking is a free trip to a certain location to get stuff. You know, like for an event. You know, they'll pay for the event. They'll do the whole thing. He says, that's pretty much it. So, yeah, one time it actually turned into something more because he had family in that area. So it was a free vacation to go see his family that was out there.
I'm just going to tell you this right now. There's some insider stuff. Out of all the stories I've heard, money being exchanged is not one of the things that really happens in this industry. Yeah. It does not happen. Like, you could consider free trips or whatever being paid if you want, but, like, actual money exchange? Nah, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen.
Well, I mean, that's exactly how the music industry used to work, where they never used to actually give real money to the radio stations to play all their shit all the time. That's why they always say, oh, no, we don't pay the radio stations to play these songs all the damn time. No, they give them other perks to do it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting.
They'll send an artist. They'll say, "Oh, we're going to send so and so."
Yeah, we're going to send over Busta Rhymes. Send Busta Rhymes over to you if you play the song like 100 times on the radio per day.
Yeah.
Barry Burns says, "I've been a pony for so long I could buy a stable." I wish. Oh man, but yeah, this shit doesn't surprise me, especially the reaction. People are like, "Yeah, ninja, go, you know, go ninja, go ninja, go ninja, go."
let them get paid. Why not?
Yeah, I guess most people who complain are just jealous. To be honest, I'm fucking jealous.
Yeah, you know.
I think the biggest situation with it is that I don't know. I don't think they're not exactly paying him for his opinion. You know, on the situation, and they're paying him to play the game, essentially live demo the game.
Well, because he's got a large sub. What was that, like over 10 million or something like that? Yeah. So that's what they're paying for. They want all those eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see that right now live. How many motherfuckers does Ninja have? Subs?
And quite honestly, like if he shits on the game, and like they're not going to pay him $1 million for the next one.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I mean, does he shit on any game? I don't know.
No. He doesn't shit on him. He's but not he one was, of those.
He was like religious Fortnite for a while. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Like he'll say he has certain favorites.
God damn, you know, I've watched a few. Son.
What?
Yo, okay. How many subs did you say he had, Adam?
10 million?
No, it's 13.6.
Wait, is this jumped. Wait, Twitch?
Twitch.
Yeah, Twitch.
Damn.
And what was it? He said something. He has like close to 1 million to 2 million usually live during his chats or when he's doing his live gameplays. That's insane, man.
See,
that's why
EA would want that guy demoing his fucking game.
Exactly, because he's not getting paid enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
exactly.
He has their install base, the people that usually look at these sorts of games. Yeah, you're going to give it to the guy that everybody knows that plays these sorts of games.
Yeah.
So, people listening, if your parents ever saying you can't make money playing video games in your room all day, you know, send them that article.
But I think it, also, if you think about it, as smart, if we're talking about streamers, is it actually a small percentage of like incredibly huge ones, like Ninja? Huge.
That's how it works for everything, though.
Yeah. You know? There's some you don't need to make that much. There's other guys. There was another guy who released a video just breaking it down. He had like 20,000 subscribers, and he was still averaging like 10,000 a month from ads and other things going on. So that's not chump change. He was making some money.
Yeah, that's good living right there, man.
Yeah, 10,000 a month. Yep.
Man. Shout out to Ninja, man. You know, so I could say, wait, what's up?
10,000 bits or what's good?
Yeah. You know, yeah, what's up? Yo, I want Ninjas to fucking raid us, son. Imagine that. Have a million
Ninja
people
Ninja raid.
Yeah, right.
Or imagine he hosts us and shit.
Oh, yeah. If he, that's what I'm saying. With a whole, oh my God, that'd be crazy.
Yo, let's get $1 million.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yo, $1 million buys a lot of hair dye, man. I'm just saying. Oh man. All right, let's move on. Speaking about battle royale games, we got to talk about Fortnite. New news here. So the Switch version of Fortnite will no longer matchmake with PS4 and Xbox One. They're only going to matchmake with the mobile versions and stuff. And I believe that's for singles. I think if you're on Switch. On Fortnite, you can still play with PS4 and Xbox One players. It's just whatever the hell is not singles. I don't know Fortnite. So
what was the reason?
Basically, they were saying that it's kind of not fair. You know, basically, you have guys on Xbox One and PS4 playing at 60 frames a second versus Switch at 30 frames a second. So the Switch guys were getting fucked up. So they're like, okay, we're going to put up with your mobile guys. Even I'm like, okay, so now the Switch guys are going to murder the mobile guys who are playing with touch and shit, you know?
They effectively just said to the Switch, you know, go play in the kiddie pool.
Yeah,
with the other mobile devices.
I mean, if anything, it's just a smack in the face and showing that it's just not on par with the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the way I see it, I'm like, okay, you know, you have Xbox and PS4. They're like teenagers, right? And Switch is like a 12-year-old. You know, he's almost there, but not quite, right? Now they're going to put that 12-year-old in the pool with the 5-year-olds. I'm like, he's going to murder the 5-year-olds now. You know, those mobile gamers and shit? It's hilarious, you know? But I wanted to bring this up because, you know, this is even though it's not one for one, you know, I'm not seeing any kind of like people upset about this, you know, like they were when you couldn't have the crossplay during the summer and shit with these systems, you know. Now nobody seems to care. I find that kind of interesting, but it is a different type of situation because it's not like you could, if you're a Switch, you can still play with those guys. Just only, okay, can somebody explain what the fuck singles is and versus whatever
other we do groups. When there's groups, just like a team deathmatch type of thing, you get in a group of people and you go and you do your business.
Okay, so if you're in a group,
that's all. Then it's like it's like when we play Division. You play solo with a group. It's when they do a group solo. It sounds like it's all right, but it's when you do a group.
Here's where I'm confused. Why is it singles and not single?
Because there's multiple single people. Think about it. Like,
you're like 99 heads, right?
Yeah, well, like it's like a single person is one person, but a lot of people that are single are singles.
It's a group of singles.
Okay, so
a group of single.
So if you're playing, a group of singles. You see what I'm saying? The plurals are fucking me up.
Yeah, it sounds kind of funny.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're in a group, then it'll be those three systems playing together, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
I don't know, fucking Fortnite. But yeah, if you're on PS4, it's automatically gonna put you with Xbox Eyes and vice versa. They didn't say anything about PC in the article, unless I missed that. Because isn't PC mixed up in the crowd too?
I don't know.
PC guy. See, and by the way, you notice how I said PS4 and Xbox One guys are the teenagers, right? PC guys are the adults with the fucking mouse and keyboard, freaking everybody. You know, it's hilarious. Yeah, but, you know, just throw it in there. Very, very interesting. All right, next up here. Man, I know Brent wants to talk about this. The Anthem boycott. Okay, so last weekend, there was a glitch. At least, you know, EA is calling it a glitch, where basically loot drops became a lot better because a lot of people were complaining that you don't get enough good loot frequently. And it changed, and people were getting really good loot really, really frequently. EA figured that out. They fixed it. And now some people are protesting the game, I guess boycotting, even though it's funny because they already bought the game. But by boycotting, they mean they're not playing the game for a week just to show EA what's up, you know. By the way, kind of interesting timing because another big looter shooter just dropped, you know. So, yeah, Brad, what's your take on it? We talked about this a little bit when we were playing Division, but go ahead. I unleash you. Go.
Okay. So I guess my big thing is... I'm not necessarily understanding the point of any looter shooter. I thought was, at least to a certain extent, end game grind. Like, yes, it may be end game grind for loot to do this dungeon, but then the dungeon drops loot so that you can run the dungeon again. It's kind of a pointless cycle, but it is how looter shooters end most of the time. So I was kind of expecting drop rates to slow down and drop rates for epics to be very rare. I think that's kind of normal. That extends the gameplay. So, and I'm sure it's half the user base saying one thing and half the user base. It feels like fans from Anthem are saying there isn't enough endgame content. Endgame epics are too easy to grind or too hard to grind. Like, well, that's kind of the endgame. That's the thing that keeps you going is grinding the missions to get these things. And then, you know, you got the loot cave from Destiny 1. You're like, woo, fucking free loot. Problem is that burns you out pretty fast. Like, okay, I got all epic gear now. I guess I'm done. And then you complain that there's not enough content in the game. So where's the middle ground?
Yeah. I mean, like, again, it's kind of interesting how people have supposedly been complaining about this since day one, that the drops are kind of bad, you know, like, and the frequency is pretty bad too, you know?
Okay, so if they're going to complain about it, at least clarify what you're complaining about. Because if you're saying the loot drops through the whole game suck, it's patently untrue. You get green drops, and then I start getting blue drops, and then I start getting purple drops, and then I start getting gold drops. And each one is progressively harder and drops rarer and rarer, but on more higher tier missions and strongholds. Now, you could tell me, you know, when you level cap out, getting those, you know, level capped epics takes more time. And again, okay, I would understand that, but that's pretty normal. So, but even if you're going to say that, you need to say the end game grind for epics is too low. Not that the loot drop is all fucked up. If you be generic about that, you're being technically wrong. Because 3/4 of the game, at least, the loot drops are absolutely fine.
Yeah, Brett, you're right. They're specifically talking about end game loot drops.
I get that, but you can't be like, okay, so the end game drops are not as frequent as the ones during the game. That's because that's what MMO end game is. Grinding a fuck of a long time to get epics. Like, what did you think was going to be at the end of this?
Yeah, I know you're right about that. I think they weren't expecting that, you know. Yeah, by the way, I mean, from the article, it goes, a bug famously improved the loot drops in Anthem before BioWare fixed it, and now fans are calling for the bug to come back as they protest the game's loot drop system in a boycott.
That happened in Destiny, though. The bug created the loot cave, which just dropped epic amounts of free high-grade loot.
Ah, yes, the infamous loot cave.
Yeah, the loot cave. And everybody fucking abused the shit out of it. And when they patched it, everyone went, oh, they should bring it back. There was a little petition to bring it back, but like people didn't have the hate for it. And it's the same fucking thing. Why in Destiny you're just like, oh, you weren't saying shit was too hard to get. Like, I need somebody to explain to me the difference between why grinding an epic in Anthem is any different than grinding one in The Division or World of Warcraft or fucking even Fallout. Like, they're rare, hard to get drops because they are epic drops. You don't just get a full set of gold gear for playing the game. You actively have to try and acquire it. That's the way it's always been in every... Has anybody seen any game that's not like that?
Yeah, but
I feel like at this point we're complaining that water is wet.
By the way, just Brett, you'll like this comment from Scott. She goes, none of these whiny shits ever went through vanilla WoW.
Exactly! That's what she went about. You want to grind a fucking mission 50 times on Epic just to have an awesome gold drop finally drop, and it's for another fucking class because there's no shared loot, and it was uphill in the snow both fucking ways. Like, but even now, like, even in the more casualized game environment, tell me what game is this not the roadmap? And why, and if it is the roadmap for every game, why are you going out of your way to hate on Destiny for the literal thing? It's like hating your daughter because she's a girl. Like, what? It doesn't make any sense. It may not be the thing you wanted, and I get that, but it's a perfectly normal thing to be. And you have to accept it in the context of the thing that it is. Did you expect... Same thing with fucking... with Anthem, everybody's like, oh, it's a BioWare game. Like, it's a looter shooter. It has some cool story elements, but you're not going to get a BioWare game. If you were expecting a BioWare game, you're going to be massively disappointed because you can't make a massive, progressive, shared world where you change the impact of the entire world. You can't have a million people playing a game, all of whom are changing the world that you all share. You can't all be the giant hero. Everybody can't be King Arthur. That's why in these games you're always an agent, a soldier, a fucking sheriff, kind of like an outlaw. You're part of a group.
So the gold, is that the highest tier?
That's how it is in most of these games. By the way, I want to quickly...
Well, the vision is not. Yeah. It's orange.
They're kind of the same color.
Well, there is gold.
Gear. Oh, really? Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I just wanted to read some of the comments from Violence and Empathy, who's also Isaac, who will be playing The Division with us. Thank you for subscribing, by the way, Isaac. He goes, the epics are shit, so you don't get a worthwhile most of the time. Also, only really get them from the strongholds. People did the math and... doing the lowest level actually gave you better drops because you get more. Also, they fucked up the damage output. It's based on your average gear level, so you unequip stuff and you get better. All right, Brett, what do you have to say about all that? Because you've been playing Anthem.
Okay, so there was a bug where because the game scales your weapons and equipment in order to be able to play with your friends, and because your power level is essentially based on your equipment. And so they gave boosts to lower level equipment and lower level players so that they could compete along the same level and play with their friends. So they had parity. So a level 4 could play on a level 30 mission and get beefed up. And the way it does this is through algorithms in powering up armor and weapons. And there was a couple of them, or a bug or a typo in the code or whatever, that basically caused like your starting weapon to get, like, they must have put the decimal point in the wrong place, because the damage multiplier on your level like 0 weapon grew with the rest of your armor. So if you dropped your level way down and equipped a certain piece of equipment, the game would bump you up to try and get you back up to the level that you're at and accidentally overpower you. It was something that was recognized. It's something that they're going to do. But it was a clear, that's not a cheat. That's the definition of an exploit. Finding a way to drop all your armor to reduce your level as much as possible to increase the bonus power of your starting weapon to an abusive level. Cool, fun. I'm not going to bitch at people for that. That's one of those things like, man, I guess if they left in the game, you can do that.
What was the reason for the guy that got banned? Was it he was doing something like that he showed off an exploit and they banned him?
I think it was, yeah, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, he was broadcasting an exploit. I forgot what the exploit was even for, though.
Yeah, I forgot.
But that's not right. He was just showing off something that's in the game.
Chris, what was it?
It was a farming, exploit. It was a farming exploit he was using. You were talking about Anthem, right?
Yeah.
It was a farming exploit. He went out in the open world, and he was showing where to get like great loot, and he was harvesting it, and he'd go back to the hub, and he'd go back out. And they banned him for that.
That's bullshit. It's not like he was using a train or anything.
No, he wasn't using any. He just said, hey, there's better loot out here. Why don't you just go out here? I'll show you where to farm it. And then,
yeah, I mean, I don't agree with that. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, hey, I mean, I understand in the sense that I don't know what the history there is, if they have any problems with it before, or exactly how he did it. The way it sounds, I don't think he should have been banned. But at the same time, the problem is, if for anybody who's played old school Warcraft, when people cheat or dupe or farm in exploitative manners, it actually kind of ruins the community economy, which is the price of things is based on how much money players have. So when players just get millions and millions and millions of credits or dollars or whatever through like duping items and selling them, information goes back and it's kind of written the algorithms that display how much the drop rate should be. So by you beefing up your character, you are kind of actively fucking over the rest of the community. Now, if you're just super awesome, that's just a learning, or that's just a grading curve. Fuck the rest of us. But if you're doing it through exploits, it has a negligible impact, but it still has an impact. So I do feel like you have to guard those rules a little bit better. I don't want to get too far off track. What was the other thing Isaac said? I missed the first part.
Hold on. There was a bunch of stuff. I got to go back now. He said a bunch of shit here. They fucked up the damage output. It's based upon your average gear. So you unequip stuff and you get better. But here's the comment I want to focus on. He says if the drops were better, it would be fine with how often they drop, but they're shit and they're not worth getting. That's what he says. That seems like a fair complaint. Like if you're going to only get a epic every 10 hours, at least have it be a good epic, right?
Well, I wonder what that means. Like if it's not that much higher than your regular gear. And I guess that's a balancing issue. And balancing issues are where I am generally the most forgiving. If you're like, hey, there's not enough power difference between your regular gear and your high-level grindy epic gear or your high-level epic PvP rewards, then I understand that. And at the same time, if you get like high-level epic PvP rewards that are too good, then you have people who PvP a lot just have way higher stats than everybody and smash everybody in PvP unfairly. So it's a delicate balance. That's one of those things I kind of forgive.
Is there PvP in this game? I thought there wasn't, or am I wrong?
No, there's not. Okay. But just you're trying to balance characters off of other characters. And unequipping equipment boosts your power output because it's based on level, but it's also got the level boost to try and boost you up to whoever you're in a group with. So it's not that if you run a mission by yourself, you're just maxed out. But if you drop your character to like level one, put on special equipment, and then join a group of people who are already capped out at level 30, it'll boost your damage to that of, it'll be like, oh, so you're level one, I'm going to boost your damage times 30 so that you get to level 30. But you've jigged your equipment in such a way that you're only level one, but you have a really strong gun. So when it multiplies that gun power by 30, you just fucking wreck face. Because the starting equipment is pretty good because it's there to give you an even kill and ease you into the game. It's not like they can just give you the dregs of the dregs. So it's a system. It's flawed. It needs broken. But at the same time, this isn't PvP. And while, yeah, somebody can fly around and do insane damage, you don't have to do that. It's a thing that only happens with a very intentional exploit. And they've already acknowledged and they're going to fix it. Like, I don't know what you want beyond that. There's always going to be at least a couple of those in every video game. And in a couple of weeks, we'll probably be talking about some way somebody's duping or something in Division. It's part of launching a service game.
Yeah.
And you'll notice my message is pretty consistent there. Like going through Fallout 4, like going through Conan, like all these games, like they come out a little rickety. As long as they're playable, I'm okay. But it really depends on things like, is it unbalanced? Okay. Could it be streamlined? I'll forgive that. Is it glitchy as fuck? That's split. If it's hilarious visual glitches, every once in a while I'm okay with that. If it's functional glitches, that fucking pisses me off. Hiccups, frame rate drops, invisible characters, renders popping. Like, the things that distract me from the immersion. And every once in a while, I could be like, why is there just a pair of gloves floating around shooting at me? And that shit pisses me off. So it really depends on the nature of it. But if it's one of those, this game is irregular, or this gun is irregularly strong, if you have it like with these skills, like, holy shit, the division is so deep that you will see somebody find a super exploitative skill tree. Like, if you put on these skills and mix it with this and mix it with this, you could drop 12 seeker mines that do a million damage apiece and just wreck this boss in 45 seconds. And let me put a speed run up on YouTube.
Yeah, okay, and they'll patch it later. That's exactly how it always works.
Exactly. You know? This is normal stuff. And I don't mind if people bitch about Anthem. I was talking to Tony earlier, and Tony said, I'm going to be honest. What did you say, Tony, about Anthem?
Okay, the two reasons why I don't really care for it. Okay, actually, got to back up a little bit. On paper, I should be an Anthem fan versus a Division fan. Division is a military shooter. I typically don't like those. Anthem is a sci-fi shooter. I love sci-fi. I don't like Anthem. Why do I like Anthem? Because it's too much like Destiny. I was very disappointed in Destiny, so it kind of sucks that this game is very much in that Destiny mold. Like, everything feels like Destiny, from the shooting, from the bosses, feels like Destiny. But the real main reason, this is not the kind of game I want from BioWare. I got into BioWare because they make narrative-driven games. This is a cash cow type of game, or cash-in type of game. And the interesting thing is, in my mind, I thought I was being petty, and Brett said I'm not being petty because at least I'm being honest with myself. This is not what I want for BioWare, so that's why I'm mad, you know. That's why I'm not fucking with it.
Yeah, that's honestly all I want to hear. Like, that's, I think people need to be honest, and I think a lot of people are shitting on this game because they're mad at BioWare. It's okay, be honest, say I don't appreciate. And BioWare is very special in this instance because it's very visually we have seen them take quality out of a beloved franchise in order to make this game. Even without paying a dollar, if you bought Andromeda, you paid for this game. So there is a fair sense of entitlement. But just be honest. If you don't like this game because it's not Mass Effect and you want more Mass Effect and BioWare shouldn't be making looter shooters and this whole concept is stupid, even though flying robots are kind of cool, but you don't want to play it because fuck you, BioWare, I don't want you doing this. Okay, that's perfectly reasonable. That is a bit of an emotional response, but a perfectly valid one. And I think that's fine. Just don't muddy the water with fake reasons or looking for reasons why you hate this game that are honestly standard in all of these games. You can't, I'm very intentionally not going into the Division looking for reasons like, oh, it doesn't do this, or comparing it to other games. Because you can't do that. But with Anthem, if you don't like it because you don't agree the direction BioWare went, you're pissed they took quality from your Andromeda, that's a valid reason. Just be honest about it. But the problem is, when you muddy the waters for everybody else, you make the discussion hard for people to have who do like the game.
Yeah,
because you're like, X, Y, and Z are wrong. It's like, they're not wrong. That's just a looter shooter, man.
Yeah, I want to address Sketch. He says, regarding my comment, but that kind of thinking is a little myopic. You want the same from a company and then be mad when they do not make anything new. No, I'm typically a guy that doesn't care about anything new as long as you do the thing that you're doing now good. It's like, if you know what I'm saying? I'm like, listen, go ahead, Brett, what happened?
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane, yeah. If I go to like a bomb-ass bagel place, I don't care how good your steak is. I'm not there for fucking steak. I want bagels, you know? It's like, you know, by the way, I hate that kind of thing because people are like, oh, you say you want something new, but then you complain when they give something. Like, I've never been that guy. Just keep giving me the same good shit you've been giving me, and I'll be happy. I don't care if it's the same shit as long as it's good. That's all I care about.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
Most of the time, that's fine because you're saying that was my argument with Fallout 76. I was telling everybody who was angry, like, dude, this isn't instead of another Fallout game. This was, they basically took stuff from the building of Fallout 4 and figured, hey, we can make our own game with this. Import a lot of stuff, tried to do what the community asked by making a multiplayer game. A lot of people think it didn't work, but it didn't stop you from being able to enjoy another thing. It wasn't in something else's place. Unfortunately, BioWare, we saw what happened to Mass Effect Andromeda, and we're like, what the fuck? And then we found out they put all the A-team on Anthem. So yeah. This is, in this particular instance, normally I would agree with, but this particular instance is a little bit different because they've actively deterred from the lane of games that Tony likes. They've taken from his cup. And normally, if you're just like, oh, you know, it's, if I give you a cup of Coke and I'm like, oh, I can also give you some Sprite. And I pour you a cup of Sprite and you're like, I don't really like Sprite. You kind of push it away. It's fine because you still have your cup of Coke. And if somebody comes up and they're like, I'm going to give you a cup of, you know, or a can of Coke. And they set the can down and say, I'm actually going to give you some Sprite. And then only pour you half a can of each for a total of one can. Then you're going to be pissed. You're like, I don't fucking want the Sprite. Just give me twice the amount of Coke. Like, nope, sorry. This is how it goes. So it's, they've taken from Tony's cup. So he's upset. And I think
that's I'm mad. Actually, I'm not mad. I don't care.
You were taken from my cup.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think for Fallout it was stupid, but I think for this one it's because we have such blatant evidence that they fucked up a game to make this game.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. All right, since we actually made good time, let's do it. Let's give our impressions of those who played it, of the Division 2.
Division.
Yeah,
all right, I'm dipping.
Yeah, all right, Carlos, man, no spoilers, man, don't worry about it. Adam, you can start us off, man, since you're Mr. The Division.
Yeah, man, tell us how much this game sucks.
No.
Do you agree with those posters now, those motherfuckers on Reddit and shit? Do you agree with them now?
All right, so my main, for those who don't know, my main concern was from what we've seen.
Yo, they ain't got no snow in it, son.
well, it wasn't just the snow, but it just felt, it just looked very open and bland compared to the previous one. It just reminded me too much of Wildlands, and I was concerned that it was just going to be a lot of open areas and fields, and maybe we just go into buildings and one or two buildings here and there, and it's spread out in these big open areas. But no, as when we jumped in and we went through certain areas, it very much feels like downtown DC. You have the buildings, there's tunnels underneath, there's alleyways. I forgot who I was with. Maybe it was with Chris. I was like, look, there's alleys. That really got me excited because I like sneaking around, especially if you know there's a group on the street. I was like, well, there's always one way to do it as opposed to just running right in front. And I was glad that those things were there. And that was my concern. They were not going to be there because they didn't show any of that. There was no screenshots. There was nothing in the beta. Remember, we kept getting that blocker and it would just spit you back onto the main road. So I was like, all right, well, hopefully it's there, and it's there and it's great. You know, so, I mean, I have other little issues, but those things they can fix, little tweaks and stuff, especially with the turret gun. Before, you would just tap the button if you had it equipped, if you were leaning against a barrier, and he would just put it on top. Now he like chucks it. You have to really like point to it, and you know, little things like that. But besides that, it's fun. I mean, we've had no issues. Granted, we're playing early access. Not everyone's on the servers. Tomorrow's probably going to be madness, you know, so hopefully it doesn't crash and it works. But I am enjoying it. I like how they sort of streamlined a lot of the gear, because for those who played Division, know you picked up a lot of items, especially a lot of mods, gear mods, weapon mods. You would have like 5, 10, 15 different scopes for various guns, and it was a clutter, you know. And that was an issue that people were worried about when they heard about the space, that you would get additional storage space if you had the ultimate and stuff. Like, oh, they're going to charge us more. How are they going to balance this? Well, here's the balance. They got rid of all of that. Now it's perks. Now you go, if you unlock the scope, tier one scope, that tier one scope will work for all your other weapons. You know, one scope is needed. That's it. God. Yeah, you don't have to go and pick up a bunch of scopes like before, remember, and put them on each one. Oh, wow, I want another scope. Now I have to go and farm for it, and hopefully I get it.
Yeah, I was telling Tony one of my beefs with the original Destiny or Looter Shooter kind of thing, where they let you really customize your guns. You're like, sweet, I've kitted out my level 8, you know, assault rifle. Now I'm level 11 and nothing works the way that I want it to anymore. It's not customized, but here's this thing that's two levels higher. So I guess I'm going to use this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was telling them before, one of the issues that I had after doing it by accident, sometimes, you know, you go to dismantle weapon and I would forget all the mods that I had on it. And when you dismantled the weapon, you also dismantled all your mods. So there were so many times where I was in a quick rush. My inventory was full and I picked up something like, and I accidentally dismantled a weapon, forgetting that I put an extended 150 or 120, you know, clip mag on there and a extended scope. And it just pissed me off. So it doesn't look like that's going to be a problem this go around because of this feature with the perk system. And then I think it was at 1 cred for it. And then there's like 2 creds, 3 creds or whatever. And it comes up from there. But yeah, so that's cool. And also when you go in the stash, then you remember this, Brett, when you go into your stash, it was just one long list and everything was broken down the list. Now it's not. Now you actually see a menu system. So you'll see like weapons and gear and mods, and you'll see like numbers, because you still get mods. You'll get a bunch of mods for your gear mods, you know, but you could, at least you can see it and then click on the one that you want to go to, as opposed to just scrolling all the way down through the list, which is a pain in the ass. So little things like that. That's great. They've tweaked it, you know, and it's fun. I'm having fun with it. So
just like I knew you would.
Yeah, I don't believe
it. Of course. Like I said, I didn't say I was going to hate it. I wasn't hyped. I just didn't feel hyped like I was for the first one.
Listen, you know? This is what I felt. I felt you were listening to those guys too much.
Yeah, you had them in your head, man. Yeah,
well, really it was not did, that. Man. It was also when we played.
You didn't follow your heart, man.
No, it was also when we. It's also when we played. That was the my concern. We played it. I was worried about it, but then we jumped in and we played. I was like, I don't know, something's not grabbing me. But then again, I didn't get to run around the world and see what I see now. So
when you were playing that demo with butter players, like me and Tony, everything just seemed easy.
It just seemed easy, exactly. It was always the one thing I wish they would have, and I know that they'll never do this, but I said, you know what, fuck it. GTA got a little crazy later on. Just have Metro bikes. Remember the folding bikes? You know, that you could fold out, ride little bicycles around or get a mountain bike. Yeah, or scooters or something. Because some of these streets, I mean, there's still paths that you can walk. You don't have to hurdle over everything. You could easily use a bike, you know, a mountain bike or one of those metro bikes to get around. Because it's a lot of running if you're not doing the fast travel to certain points.
Can the bikes have pegs so you can put two people on?
That would be awesome. See, that's what I'm saying. That would be great. Yo, jump on the back. And then you can shoot. You can shoot while you're on the back. There you go.
I had that same complaint about the Division 1. That shit's been going on for a while.
Yeah. No, that's the workaround is just to unlock all the safe houses and just fast travel. Yeah, just fast travel to where you got to go. And the one cool perk, and a lot of people don't know this, and even from the last one, is that you can fast travel to your friends in a group. Yeah. So that was the thing that I was pointing out to you guys. But believe it or not, there's a lot of people that spent hours and weeks and months and did not know that was a thing. Because I've come across them where they're like, and it was like, oh, where'd you guys go? You're like two levels up. Where'd you go? Wait for me. Like, just fast travel to us.
That could be a problem, though, as Tony experienced earlier tonight.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy. But it could also help you, too, though. You know, this happened earlier this afternoon and stuff. I was playing with my cousin, and we were doing a mission together, but I got, you know, I got disconnected or whatever, right? So I'm trying to go back in and shit. He got killed. There was only one player, like one enemy left and shit. So I make it into the game just in time to kill the enemy and then win the match, which is hilarious, you know. But that fast travel stuff what Brett was talking about specifically was, so I jump to his game. They spawn me right in front of the big, bad, heavy enemy who kills me 3 seconds later. Actually, I'm exaggerating. A second later. Like, I show up, hey, hi, Chris, how you doing? Bam, I'm dead.
Was it worse than that one level where you got wrecked in the demo?
It was about as bad.
Because usually how it works is it'll spawn to where you are. So let's say if your cousin was playing and he just died in front of the boss, you're still traveling. You're in mid-transit to where he is. So yeah, you would spawn where he is, and if the boss is there, sorry, the boss is there, but he wasn't there, or your buddy was still alive.
Yeah, he was still alive
when you triggered to go there. So it wasn't like it screwed with you. It was a bad situation. But
I was not prepared for that, bro. Like, it was a big, bad, heavy armor guy with the yellow and shit. Mm-hmm, I'm like, ooh, I got killed real fast, bro. I was there to save the day. I got clipped.
See? Well, one thing I do like, and it's a challenge. I forgot because, you know, I played the hell out of the Division, did the whole thing.
700 hours and counting.
Yeah. You know, I put so much into it that I was so overpowered for so long, you know, that I forgot what it felt like to feel underpowered and to roam around. And like, I was playing, I was doing one of the story missions, and my hands were getting sweaty and my hand was shaking. I was getting nervous. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm now getting an emotion from this. This is awesome.
My hands are shaking. My hands are shaking, but I'm still shooting.
Yeah, still so it felt great. You know, you have this feeling where you are a one-man army, but then again, you're not Rambo. You know, you are vulnerable. It's awesome. It's awesome. Some of the – you got to learn – almost relearn how to play.
I fucking knew you were going to love this shit.
I didn't think I wasn't going to hate it. I just thought it was going to take some time.
Have you been playing with Aldi?
I still – no, he doesn't get it until tomorrow. He's getting the regular one.
I fucking knew it, son.
You need to learn. You need to relearn how to play this game.
Yeah, because of the whole putting on your there's a name for it, the plates, the armor plates. You got to put the armor plates on. Before, you just, it was a stem, you take a shot, and there you go, you got your health. Now you got to, it's like 5 seconds or whatever. You got to hold back and take cover. So, yeah, you can't just run around and take a quick shot, stem shot, and then just run and gun and shoot and do a whole thing. You have to play smart.
I think, though, like, one of the things I actually really like about it, and it took me a minute for it to click, I used to play the Rainbow Six games. I used to play all the old Tom Clancy games way back in the day when they were this very dry, tactical, kind of slow-paced, methodical with bursts of action. Kind of what made it fun. Uh-huh. And thinking about that, all of a sudden I realized, I was like, that's right, this isn't The Division. This is Tom Clancy's The Division. And all of a sudden, it clicked, like, you have to play tactically. This is all, almost have to play half the way you play XCOM. And so the way that I do in other games, which in other games you're like, ooh, you're being clever, because I just stand by a choke point and mow people when they go
through. Yeah, yeah, well, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, but in this game, they recognize that, and they know that you know. Like, in any other game, you can, like in Halo or something, I'm like, just stand at the edge of this corridor and mow people around as they just run blindly towards me. In this game, you're like, okay, I've secured a choke point. Enemies will be like, okay, he's secured a choke point. We're going to try and parkour
flank,
way around
him.
So, like, all of a sudden, when you think you're like, oh, man, I'm too smart for this situation. I'm just going to guard this choke point. There's a guy that's whipping you in the back of the head with a baton. Like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
You have to play tactically.
Yeah. Yep. It's fun. It's fun. If anything, it motivates you to say, you know what? I want to play with others. Like, that's what, I don't know if you guys notice this. You just keep getting those messages to join a party or somebody wants to join
all the time.
I was like, yo, I'm trying to just focus on this. I'm not, there's got to be a way to fix that, but.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But yeah, no, I knew you were going to like it. But yeah, for me, I liked the Division 1. Here's the thing. I went into this game keeping my expectations intact. One of the reasons I didn't like the first one, I love the mechanics. I love the shooter, the cover. And like I was telling Brett, my favorite types of shooters are cover-based shooters. I think if you're in third person, you need to have cover shooting. Otherwise, you know, I'm not really a fan of it. But the thing that pissed me off with the first one, like, they promised this big, grand story, and it wasn't really there. So this time, I'm not even worried about it, so I don't give a fuck what's happening. I'm just focusing on the shooting, and it's fun, you know? So I'm like, listen, just pull me somewhere, let me shoot shit, and that's all I care about. And I'm going with that mindset, and I'm having a great time, man. Because, like I said, the Division 2 or Division 1 and 2, like, best third-person shooting outside of Vanquish. It's fucking great. You know, and like you said, you got to be tactical about it.
Wait,
you know,
excuse me?
Yeah.
Okay. Better than Gears?
Gears of War. That's a dope one. Yep. Ooh, that's a good one. Which one I like better? I'm going to have to still give it to Gears. Sorry, ponies who wanted me to diss on Xbox, but no, Gears of War, because Gears of War is more fun. Let's just be real.
Yeah, it is.
But Division is more tactical. So I guess, like, very, you know, like, yeah, it's different. Yeah, no, Carlos, I'm glad you said that. Gears of War is fucking amazing. You know?
Excuse me?
But yeah, the game is fucking dope, man. And they fixed one of my other concerns with the game. It's like, okay, because I'm like, okay, why is this bum taking 50 fucking shots, man? This is some bullshit. Every enemy in this game has armor. It's like, okay, at least they have armor on. It's not just a fucking do-rag or something, you know? So yeah, the game is fun, man. One thing it's not a big complaint, but it's, I'm noticing that when I play on my own, I go through levels way faster than I do with a team. Like, the scaling is ridiculous, man. Like that, the one mission we were having a problem with, Adam, did library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did that shit on my own in 20 minutes, no problem. But when we did it, we couldn't even finish it. We were there for an hour.
Oh, my God. That was insane. Yeah,
Chris, mm-hmm. we were there, too. That was ridiculous, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I beat the library by myself, too. But when we were in a team, it was all your cousin, me, and Adam, and you, and we couldn't get out of there.
Yeah, no, we couldn't. Yeah. We were all getting fucked up. But I will say this, though, which is kind of cool, because I was playing with my cousin. He was level 16. I was level 10, right? So, and they leveled me up to level 14 so I could kind of be a little bit of a match. As soon as I beat that mission with him, I jumped to level 12. I jumped two levels. I'm like, whoa, that's crazy.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the game is dope, man. I'm going to take my cousin's advice. He said, just play through all the story shit, then do the side stuff later. Because right now, it's, by the way, Adam, I think this is a tell of a good game. I feel like I've played 6 hours, right? I put in 14 hours so far because it tells you. I'm like, oh shit, damn. Yeah, man. But most of that time, I've done two story missions. I've just been doing side shit. But the thing is, and we talked about it, since this game is really focused on the end game, I should probably just worry about that now. You know, get to the good stuff as soon as possible. Some motherfuckers already beat the game.
Well, yeah. That's what I was saying. Oh, it's like, shit. I really look forward to just completing the story just to get to the end.
Is that one of those motherfuckers?
Because I want to get to the gear levels, you know? I want to get into that world. Because I spend a lot of time customizing my guy now. I spent even more time before I went and I got my biker outfit. I look like one of the guys from Sons of Anarchy. I got my helmet. I got my vest on. My guy looks crazy. So
yeah, it's fun, man. It's fun. You're gonna see a lot of us playing it tomorrow night, man. It's gonna be crazy. Yeah.
I
gotta ask. So the cosmetics that are for sale in the store, are they all acquirable in game?
I don't know. I know everything is separate, so you'll see full outfits, but then you can go into them and actually, let's say you just wanted the helmet or the pants or something, you can just get just that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you can just find these items in the world. Wait. In the last one, you could get them. Yes, you could get them, but they were through Phoenix creds, and which the keys, the Phoenix keys that you would find in the world, and then there was the premium vendor, and you would get these crates that you could open, and those crates gave you items that were in the purchased stuff, the purchased cosmetics. So yeah, you could, and that's in here too. They kept that in here because they give you one free right off the bat, so you know what it feels like and what to do.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, the game is good. I think this is the looter shooter to play, man. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, right now. I just hope it doesn't, you know, once everything goes live tomorrow.
Yeah, not the.
The.
Yeah. Yeah,
man. You know, but we'll see. Tomorrow's when the test really starts, right? Everybody jumps in there, you know? Mm-hmm.
What game was it recently that happened and we couldn't even get on the play because the service just went kaput? It's Red Dead Online, remember?
Yeah.
When we were playing earlier, we were like, yo, this is fine. Everything's great. Once it launched, we could barely play. We were getting dropped in and out. It was horrible.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. All right. Chris.
You didn't ask me.
Yeah, I forgot.
right.
Why do I keep forgetting you play the fucking game? Go ahead, Chris. What do you say?
Yeah, I played
it. What's wrong with you, man? What was with it?
Yeah, Chris is going to he's going to fly over here to slap the shit out of me, man.
No, I enjoyed it. I tell you, I didn't play the first game. That's probably why you think, like,
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I never played the first division.
Okay, so what are your thoughts as a newbie? Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah.
Yo, it's great. I think it looks beautiful. Like going down the streets, like Adam showed me where to like look on the alleys to get loot. So I got a couple nice guns. Like I mess with my gear. I'm like, I'm enjoying it. So I've gotten in a few fights that are over my head. I went south of the, I went to the Washington Monument, got my ass handed to me.
Oh man.
Fast travel back to the theater, do the baby missions before I can go back over there. Cause it's trying to fight level 17 guys in there. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm enjoying it. It's good.
What do you think of what do you think of the shooting mechanics and all that stuff?
Oh, the shooting mechanics are great. All the guns feel beefy, and they all feel different. Yes. And they're not just cookie cutter, you know?
Mm-hmm. You remember that shotgun I was using? You could hear it. Boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom. Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous. Like, what the fuck is he shooting, man?
Oh, good.
Sounded like that gun that Terry Crews was shooting in the Expendables.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
You know, but it's very much a party game. You know what I mean? It's one of those if like, you see some people playing and you're like, oh, you know what? They have an empty slot. Let me just jump in. And then poof, you can just jump in and run around. It has that Borderlands feel because that's one thing I loved about Borderlands 2, that if I saw buddies playing and stuff and there was an open slot, I could just jump in and, you know, have fun. Just run around. I'm guaranteed to pick up.
Oh, yeah,
somebody's playing now.
Oh,
somebody,
who's
doing that?
Yeah, that's probably you, Adam.
Not me. No,
who's playing
not
that shit? Not me either. I'm Brett. I'm looking at you, man.
Wait, we didn't.
Who it could be?
We didn't get Brian's thoughts.
Ah, sorry. There's a cat on my shoulder. All of a sudden,
damn.
Yeah. We didn't get the cat's thoughts either.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I want to hear Brian's voice anyway, man. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good. I'm just enjoying the conversation.
Yeah. You're not gonna play the division until next year, right?
I'm not too sure. Again, the first one kind of has a bad taste after a while, so I'll wait and see how the end game is with this one.
All right, Brian, would you play it this weekend if someone bought it for you?
I'm not here this weekend, so I can't.
What?
Would you? This month.
Yeah, I would.
All right, let's try to find someone to buy this game for Brian.
You know, you're gonna be leaving on Adam's birthday, man. What the fuck?
Right, this is my birthday weekend. We're supposed to celebrate. We're gonna unlock clan mode.
You do realize if you really do want Brian to play, every single one of us could probably like chip in like a couple bucks and get him a copy.
I don't have British money though, man.
we don't have pounds.
Got the pounds.
No, man, that's easy.
They take euros.
Yeah, man, you just say, you know, I'm sure Brian's got a PayPal. You just kidding. Everybody throws a little gift at him. Bam, he's got the game.
There we go.
That's actually never
leave it.
I know exactly what happened. We'll get it for him, and then we're like, yo, you download it? Yeah, how come you're not on? I'm busy doing it all this. You know what? I want my money back. Fuck this shit. This guy's not on playing. Oh, man.
I'll send you that shit by Western Union, son.
There we go. Damn, are they still around?
They actually are.
Believe it or not, they are still around.
It's crazy.
All right. Now you can just wire money.
Hey, here's a couple of things. Again, I told you we had a lot of news. Kind of interesting side stuff here. So Jade Raymond is joining Google as the vice president of their gaming division. Jade Raymond, her biggest claim to fame is working on the Assassin's Creed and I believe Watch Dogs franchise. And we all know what happened. She went to EA, nothing came of that, and now she's at Google, you know. So it's good that they have at least an credible gaming person there, you know. And like you said, we're going to talk about Google and all that other stuff that's going to be coming up later. Unless you guys want to quickly talk about that.
Let's just jump in now, because isn't that like this week, or it's coming up this week that they're making a big Tuesday? Yeah, it's coming, this big announcement.
Yeah,
you know. So,
but I don't want to do too much speculation. You know how I am, man.
Yeah, but what. That controller isn't speculation, right?
No, that's not. We could talk. No.
It's still a patent. The controller looks like hot trash.
Yeah, the controller's not. Like. It's not official yet. That's still a patent. But we could talk about what we think about that. Any thoughts on Jade Raymond? The thing, I don't really have any thoughts. I'm like, okay, that's cool. You got a gaming person in there, but you know,
it makes sense why they would get it. It's the same reason why when Microsoft was forming 343, they were grabbing people from Activision all over. Mm-hmm. Like, they just try to get heavy hitters, make it successful.
People with experience.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they have Jade Raymond there, and Ubisoft is going to be at the presentation on Tuesday. They're going to be there with Google, making an announcement. Have an announcement to make. You know, so that's going to be kind of interesting. But yeah, let's talk about that controller. That controller, it hurts my hands looking at it. That thing looks so fucking bad, dude.
Looks good. Looks like a bad Apple design, man.
But what I saw was that you can use your Switch controllers with it.
With
the Google.
Okay, I was about to like, wait, you could use your Switch controller with the Google controller?
With the Chrome. With Chrome, that it was going to support it.
By the way, I want to give a shout out to the ARG podcast. I was actually on their show right before recording this one, and we were talking about this, and Robert said that this controller makes the controller for the CDI look attractive. Like, damn.
So. Oh, damn.
This should look horrible. But it's a prototype. It's a patent, so we don't even know.
No, but they're going to, just like most of them, they're going to support third-party controllers. They're going to support other controllers. You know, it can't just all rely on it. I remember I bought the Ouya. I was one of those guys with the Ouya, and the Ouya controller sucked, but it gave me the option to use a DualShock 3.
Yeah.
So that's what I used.
But yeah, I don't want to really go into too much speculation mode. You know, we'll wait. We'll wait till Tuesday. We'll get them actual announcements, and we'll see. And then the next thing, you know, speaking about rumors, also with the Google console, the rumor that's going around right now is that Sega is partnering with Google for the new console.
Is it a console? I thought it was just running through the browser. Through Chrome.
From what we're hearing, it's a console. They have a controller for it too, you know? So.
No, I know, but I thought the controller was like something you can buy so that way you can, you know, play with it on Chrome.
No,
from what we're hearing. It'll probably have like a Chrome launch button and all that.
Yeah, but again, we'll all know on Tuesday, but from what I've been hearing, it's a console. It's an actual console. Which is interesting, and Sega's. But the thing is, you know, people are already going, "Oh, this is going to be the Dreamcast too." It's like, guys, the Sega of now is not the Sega of 1999, bro. You know, Chris, what's your thoughts on that?
If it's anything, it's just maybe they're going to give them a time exclusive, or maybe an exclusive game. I don't know, but this is not Dreamcast 2. Google is going to people and going, we need to make this successful. We need gaming input on it. They hire Jade Raymond. They throw money at Sega, give us an exclusive. Throw money at Ubisoft. Maybe they're going to give them something. Maybe Beyond Good and Evil 3 or whatever, or 2, whatever it is. Who knows? But I just think Google's throwing money at this issue and they want to get into gaming.
Yeah, Amy Hennig's going to be there too. She's going to be at the presentation. You know, that's another.
So what's she doing that? Didn't she open up a VR studio? I heard she opened up a VR studio.
I can't comment. I don't know if she did or not. But remember, just like Jade Raymond, she was at EA, didn't do anything, and decided to leave. You know, so it's very interesting.
You know, it's almost as if EA is like not a good place to work at.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, really?
Almost as if they were voted the worst company in America.
Very interesting.
Batman. Okay, so that's that. Again, we'll find out more on Tuesday. And the last thing, this is kind of interesting because I didn't realize how strict the Japanese were about this stuff. So Sega has stopped shipments of Judgment, which is a Yakuza spinoff type of game, because one of the voice actors was found doing cocaine. Apparently, that's a big deal in Japan. Over here in America, we wouldn't give a fuck, you know? But you know, basically, it's two things now. So, also, because of this actor, he did a voice in Kingdom Hearts 3, a Japanese version. Now, they're going to replace him just because of the charge.
Shit, so they're going to patch him out?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Ain't that something? But the thing is, with Judgment, it's his likeness. So they need to stop shipment so they can put a new character. And apparently, I found this out, the same thing happened with Yakuza 4, and they removed the actor completely, the likeness and everything, and put in a new character and voice. It's crazy. You know, just because of they were found that they were doing coke. I'm like, well, that's fucking, like, as an American, you're like, what the fuck? Who cares? You know?
Yeah,
these are actors. They all do blow, you know?
They'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm going into rehab. They still sell the game. They wouldn't care. They get probably more street cred. Yo, this guy was...
Right? I mean, there's talks of guns and drugs in these games. So, I mean, they're living it up.
They're the Yakuza life, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing I'm worried about is I think this will, delay it in America. Not because of the charge, but because of the delay in Japan, you know?
Right, they have to rework the game if they want to remove him.
Yeah, man.
You know what this means, right? Collector's item.
And here's the funny thing. This game was... Yeah, that's right. That's right. Get the game now, you know? This game was already slated to come out in America on June 26th. I think it's going to get delayed now because of this. Because if they had... But then again, we can technically get the original version. We don't give a fuck about that. You know, but I think Sega's probably just, they pulled out all their tweets about the game, advertising it and everything, you know?
Man, that is harsh. Like, what? I don't know what it is with...
You have dishonored Sega by doing the blow!
Here would still buy this shit.
How dare you?
Yeah, it's like, he did blow. Who gives a fuck?
You play as a Yakuza. You do not be the Yakuza.
Oh, man. All right. That's pretty much it. We ran through everything. Very, very hot week. So next week, Google, it's going to be interesting, man. I'll save my thoughts to then because I don't think we need another console out there. We have enough, but... We'll see about that. We'll see what happens. Because it may not be a console, Adam, like you said. Maybe something else, you know?
Yeah. That's what I thought. That remember when they were doing the Assassin's Creed test? It was all through Chrome.
Yeah.
And they wanted to see the browser if it supported it, and they let you use your whatever controller and keyboard. So I figured that's what they were going to offer. And then, yeah, they had their own controller because, you know, it's just something that you can buy. Probably has some Chrome specific buttons on it or whatever. But that's what I thought. I didn't know they were going to go and make a whole new console. Yeah,
that's
really?
That's what the word is.
Going to go into that world? Come on.
We'll see about that. But anyway, we're going to sign off because Adam has to play The Division.
There we go.
Like right now.
Yeah, right. All right, man. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight's joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys. You have dishonored Sega.
Stay away from the nose game.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real.
Adam Bale.
Don't just jump into the dark zone, people. Don't buy into the hype and people like, oh, go in here for the cookie. No. Just enjoy the main campaign and just level up Dingo.
And Brian Majoni.
I really cannot wait to watch the Captain Marvel film. I can't wait until it's out in theaters.
Yeah, the real Captain Marvel. All right, guys. Well, yeah, we're going to be streaming The Division. You already know Friday, Saturday, and be back to throw it out your question on Sunday. Later.
Juices.
We need the manana.